Well, yes, my name is Brenton Balvin, and it's good to be with you. I have a couple of my kids here with me today, and I also have a foreign exchange student who's been living with my family for the past, since September, however many months that is. And so that's pretty cool that he's able to be here with us today also. Are you wondering maybe if I was a guest speaker, if I was going to go speak somewhere, I might dress up a little bit more than rolled jeans and a brown sweater. Well, I'm going to explain this later. So just hold that thought, hold that criticism of my wardrobe in your mind, maybe towards the end of the message, and there'll be some explanation coming. But it is good to be here. I'm from Northfield. I love Northfield. I grew up in Maple Grove, played hockey for Maple Grove. Our first conference win ever as a high school was against Blaine. So you got that going for you. But I loved there, and I love being in Northfield now. Northfield is a great city, and it's known for a lot of things, but a couple of things, or probably the primary thing that it's known for, is the two colleges that are in Northfield. You have Carleton College and St. Olaf College. I know this is kind of Bethel territory maybe, and I went to Bethel, but Carleton is known as the Harvard of the Midwest. Don't know if you knew that. And St. Olaf in 2014 was rated as one of the most haunted campuses in the Midwest. Haunted campuses. I don't know if you guys like ghosts. I got a picture of the building here at St. Olaf. Let's see if this will work for me. There we go. That is the library at St. Olaf. Looks kind of like a haunted library, doesn't it? There are so many ghost stories at St. Olaf that the dean of students actually has a file called the Ghost Files, where he takes these reports from students and files them away. Now, one of the most well-known, famous ghost stories at St. Olaf was the story of a girl. It was finals week, almost like it is right now, finals week for a lot of kids. It was a night just like tonight, right? So finals week, the student was in the library alone studying, was going to a study carol, and as she walked down the stairwell of the library, she came around the corner and there was an older woman there sorting books on a rolling cart. The student asked the woman, "Could I help you with anything?" And there was no response. The woman just continued to sort the books. So the student decided, well, okay, enough of this, and proceeded to her study carol. She sat down at the study carol, took out her books, looked up, and there in front of her was the woman in a picture on the wall. Charlotte Jacobson had died many, many years ago, but she was known in her retirement, pre-death, to come back to the library to sort books as a volunteer. Startled, the student got up, returned to the rolling cart to see if she had made a mistake, and there was no one to be found. Now, I don't know if you believe in ghost stories like that. I'm not necessarily a big ghost story type person, but there is one ghost story that I believe in, and I hope that you believe in it also. It's the story of the Holy Ghost, or what many people call the Holy Spirit. Now, just with a show of hands, how many of you have heard of the Holy Spirit before? That's good. Jeremy, you're doing your job. So that's really good. Now think about this question, and you don't have to raise your hand for this one, but you all pretty much raised your hand. You've heard of the Holy Spirit. When was the last time that you personally heard from the Holy Spirit? You've all heard of the Holy Spirit. But when was the last time that you heard from the Holy Spirit? See, I would contend that there's a lot of Christians, a lot of people who come to church on Sunday mornings. I must have passed about 50 churches on University Avenue coming up here today. And a lot of people who go to those churches who say, yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, but if you ask them point blank, when was the last time you heard from the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be able to give you an answer. Now, there's a pastor, his name is Francis Chan, and he noticed that in his church, he was having this problem. A lot of people were overlooking the importance of the Holy Spirit, and so he wrote a book about it. And he opens his book with these words. He says, "From my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes forgotten. While no evangelical would deny his existence, I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced his presence or action in their lives over the past year." That sentence strikes me. Millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced his presence or action in their lives over the past year. And if Francis Chan is right, and I believe that he is, then we have a major problem in our churches. You know, Jesus, before he was crucified, he was meeting with his disciples and just downloading information into their minds, just teaching them so many things for what would happen after he left. And in John chapter 16, Jesus says this sentence, verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus tells his disciples before he's crucified, before he's going to die, before he's going to rise again from death, defeat death, and ascend back to heaven, he says, it's for your advantage that I'm going away, because then I can send you the Holy Spirit, or then the Holy Spirit will come. Now, if Jesus himself said, it's better for you Christians that he is not here, and that the Holy Spirit is here, if the Holy Spirit's presence in our life is better than Jesus' presence in our lives, but if we're not experiencing his presence and we can't talk about it or vocalize how he's been interacting in our life, we have a major problem. The Holy Spirit is the forgotten God. We hear the word God the Father, God the Son, Jesus. But we overlook, and I am guilty of this myself, of overlooking God the Spirit. Now, a lot of this just happens because we build associations with words in our mind, don't we? We hear things enough, and it just sort of clicks. So God the Father clicks. It's kind of like this. If I asked you what clicks with "just do it," what would you say? Nike, right? I mean, it just goes together. How about this one? Eat fresh. Subway. Just clicks in your mind. Can I get a McPick too? McDonald's. Gosh, I hate that commercial. Can I get a McPick too? Drives me bonkers. My son loves it. But when we hear God, we think God the Father or God the Son. But we overlook God the Spirit. Now, the Bible says that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all one, and they are called the Trinity, right? And we see this in the Bible. So I want to read a couple examples just to make sure that we're all on the same page. The first one comes out of Mark chapter 1. This is right before Jesus' baptism. There we go. All right. It says, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he, Jesus, saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, the Father, saying, 'You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased.'" A second place where we see the Trinity is going to be about one page backwards in your Bible. It's going to be in Matthew. And this is the Great Commission. This is what Jesus said to his disciples right before he left the earth. In Matthew 28, in verse 16, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" Now, I'm not going to unpack for you guys today the entire doctrine or set of teachings about the Trinity, but I do want to make sure that we all have a basic understanding of what the Trinity is, what it entails, and maybe what it doesn't entail. And this kind of popped out, the importance of us understanding this, kind of popped out to me recently. I don't know if you guys are on Facebook or you listen to the radio or watch the news, but someone sort of, I don't know, musically important to Minnesota died recently, right? Did everyone know Prince died? I mean, has there been more ubiquitous news ever? It was everywhere, right? And so Prince, well, maybe not all of you did know, was a Jehovah's Witness. And a lot of people don't know necessarily maybe what is a Jehovah's Witness or what makes Jehovah's Witness different from Orthodox Christians. And one of those things is going to be in here today. But as we understand the Trinity, just briefly, and I hope you guys can kind of see this, is a little picture, and in the middle it says God. As Christians, we believe in one God. But we also believe, secondly, that one God exists from eternity past to eternity present in three distinct persons. And those are the circles on the edge. So you have the Father on top, you have the Son to the bottom corner, and then you have the Holy Spirit in the other corner. Now, what we need to know is that, thirdly, each one of those persons is fully God. It isn't as though Jesus is a third God and God the Father is a third God and the Holy Spirit is a third God. It isn't three parts that each make up one third of one. Each one is individually fully God. And this is a big distinction between Jehovah's Witnesses, because they don't believe that Jesus, the Son, is 100% God, and they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is God at all, but rather that he is a spirit of God. So that's a big difference. Fourthly, we believe as Christians that each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has the same worth, value, and distinction of importance. No one of those three persons is more important than the other. And this is, it's sort of a complex idea. I understand I'm sort of giving you an overview of the top, but I want to make sure that you understand what we're talking about when we talk about the Trinity. And just because something is a little difficult to understand, sometimes it might make us feel like that. The Trinity, what? Doesn't mean that it's not true. Just because we can't understand something doesn't mean it's not true. Like, think of this. I have no idea what quantum physics are, but it's a real thing. E equals mc squared, really have no idea what that means. But it's true, it's true. How any thinking, reasonable person could cheer for the Yankees or the Packers? I don't know, but they're out there. How women and... this one is even more. See, I'm just trying to offend everyone. Yankee fans, Packer fans, women. Guys, you really confuse me. How any of you could actually watch and like The Bachelor? Absolutely blows my mind. But just because something's hard to understand doesn't mean it's not true, right? And so the Holy Spirit is important. And we can't overlook the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity, as a person, fully God. We cannot overlook him. We have to remember this, and you're not really going to be able to read that, I apologize, but it says the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. Not a thing. Sometimes we think, we use the word ghost, or we use the word spirit, and we think it's this like floaty presence around our life. The Holy Spirit just kind of, we ask, come and fill this place, Holy Spirit, with your presence. But the Holy Spirit is a person, and what that slide says is it says that he thinks. The Holy Spirit thinks. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit grieves. He has emotions and feelings. The Holy Spirit decides. He makes decisions on what things will happen. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit does all sorts of things in our lives. All sorts of things. The Holy Spirit comforts us when we're hurting. The Holy Spirit guides us into the right thinking, into truth. The Holy Spirit brings scripture to our mind in times of trouble, in times of need. As you think, I remember that verse. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. When we're walking in a way contrary to how God wants us to walk, that's the Holy Spirit that says, you're in the wrong here. The Holy Spirit is a seal of our salvation. His presence in our life shows that we are in relationship with God. The Holy Spirit gives us power over sin and our sinful desires. And then the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. That's just a glimpse of what the Holy Spirit does. But you can see how important the Holy Spirit is and how tragic it is when we overlook the Holy Spirit. Dwight Moody, you guys may have heard of him, he said this: you might as well try to see without eyes, hear without ears, or breathe without lungs, as to try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. If you can't answer that question that I asked at the beginning of the service about when was the last time you heard from the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry to say you are missing out on the life that God has for you. You're missing out on the fullness of experience without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to come and be a part of your life. And I got this picture from NASCAR. I know I don't really look like a NASCAR guy, and I'm not. But I promise you, we can pull something spiritual from NASCAR. You might not have thought that, but it's possible. So this is a picture of what's called a spotter. Now, in a NASCAR race, and I don't know where I came across this information, to be honest, because I don't ever watch NASCAR, but this is true, again. The spotter sits high above the racetrack, and each car or each driver is equipped with a communication device to their spotter. And so the spotter is able to get a bird's eye view of the track and to communicate to the driver things that are happening in the race. He could give the driver encouraging words. He could cheer the driver on. He could warn the driver. He could say, hey, up around this next turn, we have a big wreck. Slow down. He could say, everyone's taking the high road on this curve right here. Make sure you get your car up over towards the edge and you take the corner this way. The spotter from his spot can see everything that's going on and give that driver the best advice on how to drive his car at 200 miles around the track to be successful, to be the best driver that he can be, to have the most successful race that he can have. That's the job of the spotter. And guys, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. The Holy Spirit is your spiritual spotter. He's on a different plane than you are. He sees your life completely different than you. He can see so much more for you. And so he speaks to you and he says, well, don't go that way. That way is going to lead to trouble. Go this way. And the Holy Spirit, from his vantage point, he says, you're doing a great job. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Way to go. Keep it up. Or he can say, hey, I think you're going to want to slow down in this area of your life, or in this, you're going to need to change direction here. See, the Holy Spirit, he guides us the way that a spotter guides a driver so that we can have the most fulfilling, most successful, most God-honoring, God-glorifying life possible. And the New Testament is filled with this, especially the book of Acts. You read story after story of how the Holy Spirit spoke to those in the first church. And he would say, go to this city and do ministry. Or he would say, go talk to that person and share a word with them from the Lord. The Holy Spirit was constantly guiding those people in the first church. And here's the cool thing. The Holy Spirit is still guiding us today. I recently was in a small group. And this guy was sharing that he had had a hard day at work. Anybody ever have one of those? Wow, my 9-year-old has hard days at work. School, right? And he said, I was so frustrated with the guys I was working with. The job wasn't going well. We were trying to work on this building, and I was mad at the crew. And I came home, and I was just mad at my family for no reason. And I just didn't want to talk to anybody, and I just went to bed. And he said he had a dream. And in his dream, see, this guy has come a long ways in his walk with God. He used to be into alcoholism, and he was unfaithful to his wife, and he was just shipwrecking his life, just destroying his life. And God got hold of his heart, and he changed him. But he has this dream, and he says, in my dream, I was driving my truck through town, and I got pulled over by the police. And he said, they got me out of my truck, and they had me standing outside the truck, and they were questioning me, and people from church were driving by and seeing this happen, and I just kept thinking, I mean, what are they going to think, and what am I doing here again? And he woke up from this dream just very distraught, like everything that he had worked for was gone. You know how that happens when you wake up from a dream. And he reported to us, or he told us at group, that when he woke up with those feelings, he got this sense from the Lord that said, why are you so frustrated about the little things happening at work? Look at where I've brought you from in your life. Look at what I've saved you from in your life. And he said, all those frustrations of work just melted away. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and he speaks into us, and he helps us to see things differently. He makes us better. But we got to listen to him. And we have to learn to hear his voice. I don't know who said it, but someone said this: when you take time with God and listen to his voice, he shows you the way and empowers you to make the right choice. When you take time with God and listen to his voice, he shows you the way and empowers you to make the right choice. So how do we hear from God? First of all, we need to learn his word. You need to know your Bible. If you want to hear the voice of the Spirit, you need to know what it says in God's word, because oftentimes this is what the Spirit will speak to us. Secondly, we need to develop the habit of listening to the Spirit every day, all the time. And that's a difficult habit to develop in our culture, isn't it? It's difficult because we're so busy. We run here, we run here. This is my day today, and you know what? Pray for me. I'm preaching here. My daughter is singing at a mass in Northfield. Then she's going right to a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Later this afternoon, she has soccer practice. My son has baseball practice, and I have a can't-miss softball game. And that's like just one day, right? We're so busy. I'll bet you guys have days even more busy than that. And how is the Spirit supposed to speak to us in that busyness? It's kind of like this. This guy's got his iPad or iPhone, He's looking at his computer screen, and he says, "Dear God, how come I can never hear your voice?" Is that you? God, how come you never speak to me? Because you don't ever take the earbuds out of your ears or turn off Netflix to listen. I'm reminded of the story of Elijah in 1 Kings when he's waiting to hear from God. And there's, you know, an earthquake and there's storms and there's all this activity going on. And the Bible repeatedly says, but God was not in that. And finally, it's quiet. And Elijah hears the whisper of God. Do you have any margin in your life to hear the whisper of God? To even be able to hear his voice? Because I can tell you that the Holy Spirit does not compete with all of the other noise that we put in our life. He's not going to shout over it all. He's patient. And he says, I'll wait. I'll be here to guide you and direct you and to comfort you and to speak to you when you're ready to hear. Next, we hear the voice of God when we put into practice what he says. Have you ever had a relationship with someone where you just got so sick of telling them the same thing over and over again that you just stopped saying it? When we don't listen to the Spirit of God, when the Spirit speaks to us and we ignore it, or we say, okay, that sounds good, but I'm going to do it this way, it's harder to hear him the next time. And when we continue to do that and you establish a pattern of not listening, suddenly you can't hear anymore. A few months ago was the boys' state hockey tournament. And as part of that experience, I always take my kids down to the big hockey expo. It's a place where you get all the free stuff, right? All just the junk, the flyers, the pens, all the little things. But the kids love it. And it's a fun time. And so I brought my kids down there, and we had to park quite a ways away from the rink because their dad is very cheap, and I didn't want to pay a lot for the parking. So we walked. Good exercise, right? And so on our way back, there was a woman sitting along the side of the road with a sign asking for money. And as the spiritual leader in the family and is wanting to teach my kids, I said, "Let's go, guys, come on." Put my head down. But my daughter... That wasn't a good example of leadership, by the way. My daughter, who is 11, we got a little bit past the woman, and she said, "Daddy, I think God told me I'm supposed to give her some money." My daughter doesn't have a lot of money. And I said, "Well, honey, I think you should do it then." And she said, "But Daddy, I don't know. Maybe God didn't really tell me, and I'm kind of afraid. I don't really want to do it." And this is where I think I did make a good decision. I said, "Sweetie, if you think God told you to do it, then you need to do it. Because when we hear God, we want to be obedient to what he has to say." And I wanted her to build in that habit of being obedient to what we hear God say to us. Have you ever had that situation? Have you ever thought you heard God and you weren't sure? And Maybe you did it anyways and you obeyed, or maybe you didn't and maybe you ignored his voice. And every time you do, it will be harder to hear him the next time. And this is the last thing if we want to hear the Spirit's voice. And this one might be the most important of all, but we need to make sure that we're living the type of life that the Holy Spirit would want to speak into. When we are walking in sin, when we are ignoring what the Bible says about God, about how God desires us to live, we're putting up a wall to the Holy Spirit. And we're saying, I'm going to live life my way, and you stay on this side of the wall, and I don't want to hear your voice. Don't bother me with your conviction. I don't need your encouragement. I don't need your guidance. I'm going to drive the race car of my life the way that I want to drive it. And if I crash, I crash. But I don't need a spiritual spotter. I'm going to do it my own way. And the Holy Spirit often will say, fine. Fine. And you won't hear his voice. So if you say, in the last year, Brendan, I just haven't heard the voice of God. I don't think he's speaking to me. I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I can't tell you a time that I heard it. Then I would ask you, are you spending any time in his word? I would ask you, are you creating space in your life, margin in your life to hear his quiet voice? Are you obeying what he has said to you? Are you walking in holiness? Are you living the type of life that God would want to honor and bless and speak into? Listening and following the voice of our spiritual spotter has profound implications for you and I and the experience that God has for us. Think about it. Think about how different your life would be if today, in this moment, you said, I'm going to leave this place tuned into the Holy Spirit. If you said, when I go to work, I'm not going to turn off my faith. I'm going to sit at my desk. I'm going to sit in my truck. I'm going to sit in my car. I'm going to work in my office with the idea that the Holy Spirit will speak to me and guide me throughout the course of my day. And he may give me a word for my coworker. He may help me to come up with that new idea. He's going to be with me. I'm going to invite God into my workplace. Think about how different your life would be. Think about your home. If you're a mother, you're a father, you're a spouse, and your relationship with your kids, with your husband, with your wife, if you said, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit and the way that I treat my family, the way that I treat the words I speak to my wife, I'm going to listen and see how the Holy Spirit would guide me in this situation. How would your life be different? Students, when you go to school, how would your life be different if you said, God, today guide me at school. Help me to see students that need friends. Help me to treat my teachers and my parents with respect. How would your life be different? How would this church be different if you all came here tuned into the Holy Spirit, ready to listen to him each service, to hear from him as you sing and as you receive the word that Jeremy preaches to you? How different would this church become? Francis Chan said this. This is a smaller quote, and I want to read you the whole thing. He said this. I think a lot of us need to forget about God's will for my life. You hear that a lot, don't you? I just want to know God's will for my life. I think a lot of us need to forget about God's will for my life. God cares more about our response to his Spirit's leading today, in this moment, than about what we intend to do next year. In fact, and this is the quote on the screen, the decisions we make next year will be profoundly affected by the degree to which we submit to the Spirit right now, in today's decisions. It's easy to use the phrase, God's will for my life, as an excuse for inaction or even disobedience. It's much less demanding to think about God's will for your future than it is to ask him what he wants you to do in the next 10 minutes. It's safer to commit to following God someday instead of this day. The decisions we make in the next year will be profoundly affected by the degree to which we submit to the Spirit right now. So, are you hearing from the Spirit right now as you listen? Are you feeling anything in your heart that the Holy Spirit would say, I want you to hear me. I want you to invite me into your life. Is the Holy Spirit asking you today to submit your life to God? Submit your life to his leading, to his leadership, to his lordship over all aspects of your life. In this quiet place, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Can you hear him? Your future could be profoundly affected by the decisions you make right now. Are you going to keep driving your own race car, driving the way you want? Or are you going to ask your spiritual spotter to come and speak fresh into your life, to guide you, to protect you, to comfort you and encourage you, so that you can just, man, live as full as possible? Holy Spirit, speak to us. For those of us who are Christians, for those of us who have given our lives to you, Father, your word says that your Spirit will come. Your Son Jesus said that it is better that he leave so that the Spirit can come. And I pray for these people here today, for this church, that your Spirit would be here, that it would be, that he would be the number of first importance, number one priority for each person here, that they would listen to you and that they would make decisions today that would profoundly change their future. And Lord, we're going to continue on in worship to you this morning, and as part of that, we're going to collect an offering. Please take the tithes and offerings that have been prepared and that are given today and bless them. Use them to do your work, to change hearts, to redeem the lost, to rescue those who are broken and hurting, to make people whole again. Take the tithes and offerings, God, and multiply them for your great name's sake. And I pray as we close in song today that we continue to be open to hearing your Spirit speak to us. It's in your name we pray, amen.